Come to the conclusion that the evidence is out there that most people do experience inner speech. We're going to do a little bit about that as we go along, but I wanted to start with a clip which it doesn't come from my sort of film, so I only saw this when watching a psychologist lecture on inner speech, and it's from the film What Women Want, which is about a guy who is the ultimate chauvinist, and he for some reason has an accident which means that he falls into the bath while holding a hairdryer and survives with this special ability to hear what women want. Initially, he tries to get rid of this skill and goes to see his therapist, or goes to see a therapist who's played by Bette Midler, and she points out to him what an advantage it would be to him. Now, I want to just show you a clip from this. It's a very small clip, but it illustrates the fact that people can be saying things and they can be thinking things, and this is where dad knocks on his daughter's bedroom to speak to her, and she's got some friends with her. So let's see if we've got this.
Oh, I like that one, but it says you can't wear it if you have hips.
Oh, that one's cute.
Ah, it's low cut though. I can't wear low cut.
Alex?
It's open. What? Say something.
Hi. I'm Alex's dad, Nick.
Hi.
Hi.
Deadbeat.
Mr. No Food in the House forgot her birthday.
Why is he just standing there?
Oh, I just wanted to let you know that I was home, and I got a sort of a date later on tonight, so I'm going out. But I'll be home early. Hey, why don't you guys order a pizza? They're not a scrap of food in the joint. And I also wanted to know if maybe you and I could go out on a date soon. I'd like to take you shopping for a prom dress.
Oh, that is so sweet. I wish my dad would do something like that.
I love him.
I don't get it. First you throw Cameron out, now you want to take me shopping so I can go to the prom with him?
Well, I overreacted, and I just want to make up for it by taking you out shopping. I mean, it's a pretty important thing, you know? I mean, they say it's all downhill after the dress.
He must be stoned. Fine, I'll get the most expensive dress, shoes, makeup. He can afford it.
And what the hell? Let's go crazy. While we're at it, we'll get you new makeup, shoes, the works. What do you say?
Fine, whatever.
Whatever meaning yes. Yes.
Yes.
Great. Well, nice to have met you too. I hope to see you again soon.
Definitely.
Bye, Mr. Marshall.
Bye. I love the apartment. Great view.
Thank you.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. Just an illustration. We'll come up with another one a bit later on. What we did last week, for those of you who weren't here around to... oops. Let's change the input, otherwise you'll never see this. Okay, what we did was to use the idea of an old-fashioned radio that took a long time to warm up, and we pointed out that the way in which we hear God's voice is we turn on to God's voice. We have to switch on. I was talking to somebody during the week and said to them, well, where is God for you now? Oh, I can't, I don't know. I've not turned on, okay? To that, and that's a reasonable thing, and I think that's true for lots of us. I've said about how sometimes I find that I can live all day without consciously asking God to be active in my life, and from what I see, that's true of a lot of other people. Now, as part of my research this week, we talked as well about tuning into God. And I've had some interesting conversations here, because when you say to people, how do you hear God's voice? They will immediately go through the once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime, three times in a lifetime, maybe dramatic occasion, which is not representative of the way most of us live. And when I listen to people talk to me about how they've heard the voice of God, it immediately de-skills me, because I think, well, that's never happened to me, right? I've never been anywhere near an angel. I've never seen gold fillings or gold dust or angel feathers falling. I've never had God speak to me in an audible voice. But I have on occasion been really aware of him being around. I've been pretty convinced that the impressions I'm getting in my mind are so clear that I can talk about them as though God spoke to me. And that's the point, really, that a lot of the time when we say God spoke to me, it's because we haven't got any other vocabulary to describe it. But the other thing is about paying attention, listening up. So we're going to work from there this morning, and we're going to accept the fact, this is a visual from an exhibition at the Wellcome Foundation, which explored inner voices about inner speech. There's a whole group around called Intervoice, which is the Hearing Voices Foundation, which it draws together all sorts of people from all over the world, because it's something that's often talked about. But just accepting that it is possible for you to hear things in a really definite and obvious way. But then, of course, we balance out the fact that Elijah, a guy who had seen fire come down from heaven, was in a very depressed place and went away, and it said the voice of God didn't come in the thunder, didn't come in the lightning, didn't come in the wind, didn't come in the rain. It was in a still, small voice. Now, so most people do actually want to hear God's voice, most Christians. And we've got a couple of exercises, as you would expect, this morning. And we're going to give you 3 minutes for each of these. The first one is this. In what situations in your life and at what times do you find that you most want to hear God's voice? And what we've got is some Post-its, as usual, some pens, as usual. Have a think about it, write it down, and stick it up on a board so that we can have a look at it afterwards. No need to put your names on there. If you never want to hear God's voice, or you want to hear God's voice so often that it's not really worth commenting on it. But I think most of us find there are particular times, and I found this certainly from the time I was at secondary school, that there were times when I really wanted to know that God had spoken to me. So that's the exercise. We've got 3 minutes on that one, and I've chosen something which does not have in a countdown, which doesn't have any music this time. Okay, off you go. Have a thought over that side. Gives you a little bit of exercise as well, and me a chance to eat my biscuit. Okay, nearly there. Simon, could you stay round there? I'd like you to read them off for us. Can we put sound through here as well? Okay, we're all there. Adjust. Yeah, you start. Excuse the noise at the end of this.
Okay, life-changing decisions.
Okay, keep going. Just go through and read all of them for us. Okay.
When I'm in trouble and want to know for definite what he's there and have reassurance. When I'm worried about a situation, when I have a specific question or need wisdom, when I'm on my own after school thinking through stuff, when I'm making big decisions and I want to get it wrong.
Okay, I'll tell you what, you need some help from a school teacher who's used to reading impossible writing. Yeah. Sue, would you go over and join him? You need to turn those out, Dave, because I'm going to show a clip while those two are looking through it. Yeah, but if in fact you two could just cluster them, and we'll deal with them in clusters. But lights out, please. Now, this is a very, very famous YouTube clip. I think it's up to 7 million. And it's a little boy whose mother heard him talking to himself. And there are lots of recordings of children talking to themselves, but very few of them are as clear as this one. I don't know, do any of you talk to yourself out loud? Oh. Yeah, some people do. Actually, it's interesting, isn't it? Because all of us as children, not all of us, but most of us as children, start by talking to ourselves out loud. We then internalize it, and there's only a few people, like half of us here this morning, it seems, and my wife, who I can hear talking to herself quite often, and there'd be quite a cadence in her voice to the extent I think, oh, I didn't hear anybody come in to the house. But here's a little boy, I'm pretty sure he's in Canada because he mentions poutine. Yeah, it made its way around the world. It really is quite exceptional. But you can see he's actually identifying a problem, which is not the fact he had a very hot curry the night before, but he's just working through in his mind all the components there. We can put the lights on for a bit so that perhaps Sue we could help Simon to just talk about the main groups, please, for us. What were the main groups of things?
Okay, we've grouped them into sort of decisions, to worry and confusion.
And what was the right-hand side category?
Confusion.
So uncertainty, anxiety, and decision-making are the times that we want to hear God's voice. Okay, now that gives us an interesting feed here. Thanks very much, guys. You can look at that afterwards. We'll try and photograph it, and if the photograph's okay, we'll put it up with the talk. Of course, the thing comes that what we're really interested here is the idea of being able to say, Lord, I need to hear from you about, and to get a response. Dave sent me some notes during the week because I asked about this. I won't go through them now, but he talked about this kind of thing as well. He says this: over time, I feel I've developed a sense of when God is speaking. If the thought is from left field, relevant but not obvious, something that stays with me, so he's got some criteria there. In my experience, I feel that God is more than ready to speak, and often the issue is making time to listen. Now, this whole thing about an internal conversation is well-rooted in the Bible. The idea that it's possible to have a conversation with yourself, it's not always so clear that there's a conversation going on with God. Although in Psalms you will actually hear Psalms of lament where David, for instance, yells out, how long, Lord, how long? And that's I don't know whether he expected an answer or not, but this is one of Tracy Emin's neon signs, and there's one that I want to show you that's permanently in Liverpool Cathedral at the end of the session. The let's just have a look at where these things happen in the Bible. Do you ever do this? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Do you ever speak to your soul? Why are you downcast? Why are you being such a misery, Halls? Yeah? Pull yourself together. Get on. Move. You'll see that this is the one where it talks about deep calls to deep. In Psalm 103, you've got that famous bit where it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Count your blessings." Yeah? Give thanks to God, where we talk to ourselves. So, it's a sort of pretty normal thing, but when it comes to listening to God, there's the big problem. And that's the problem of distractions. Now, we've talked about the fact that when we get home from school, when we've got decisions to make, when we're confused about things, we want to hear from God. What sort of things distract you from being aware of God? We're going to do this differently to the way that I planned this morning. I'd just like you to talk to one another about this. What are the sort of things that distract you from being aware of God and listening to his voice? Okay, what are the distractors? I'm not going to run the countdown. Okay, let's get some feedback on this one. Let's get some feedback. What sort of things did you come up with? Let's see if they're common to all of us. What did we get?
Screens.
Sorry?
Screens.
Screens, yeah. So having your screen on, yeah. How many people here find that God speaks to them through their screen? Yeah, I do. Mind you, that's part of the way my life works. I spend some of my time anyway, actually following up what's being said around the world and what is being prayed and what's being thought about. But lots of people do find screens distracting. But then I can find reading a novel distracting as well. So, and the newspaper, that sort of thing. So, that kind of input, yeah. Who finds that screens are distracting? Is there anybody else? Okay. How do you deal with that?
I get distracted.
Duh. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, switch it off, put it away. Turn away from the thing. Just actually have that time. I find there are times when I actually need to go somewhere else than my study, where I've got the biggest, well, I've got two of the biggest screens I can manage to get in there, and so that I'm not tempted to look in that sort of direction. I'm not somebody, well, let's... Sorry, I left it running. What other distractions have we got?
That screen is quite a distraction.
Yeah, okay. That actually was an attempt to market something to deal with distractions, right? In 1925, and it's called the Isolator. It's a padded helmet with a compressed air feed into it, so that you cannot be distracted by anything. It's a bit like putting a pillow over your head so that you're not distracted. But anyway, other distractions apart from my screen. Yeah, Bethia.
Feelings.
feelings. Now, that's a really interesting one, because I was thinking about this. One of the times that I want to hear from God is when I'm anxious or worried, but being anxious or worried distracts me from listening to God as well. So you've got a vicious circle that comes and makes the problems worse. How many people find that their feelings distract them from listening to God at times? Yeah, quite a lot. You're in the majority, Bethy. You're not odd. Well, you may be odd, but not because of that. So that's other things. Yeah.
Friends and family, making time with them rather than God.
Yeah. Now that's the friends and family, other things that we're responsible for. Just this weekend, Susanna and her family have moved out of our house, which is great in a way, there are some good things about it, but there are some downsides to it as well. They're not far away, they're only in Chippenham, and I'm sure we'll see quite a lot of them. But when you're wanting to reflect and somebody comes and says, "Grandad, will you play a game with me?" Then it's a distractor. And when you've got small kids, it's a distractor. I used to have my study at home when our children were small, and I tried not to work in a way that had my door shut. So people would come along, and I still get it when the grandkids are around. They'd come along, and when I used to have my study all to myself, they would come and sit in my armchair, and they'd just sit. For about 10 seconds. "Grandad, what are you doing? Why have you got that picture of a man in a funny hat up on the screen, etc., etc.?" Yeah, so family and friends, other people, do you find that a distractor? Who would say that they find that? Yeah, all these things are pretty common, aren't they? Actually, in a month's time, just 5 weeks away, Steve's going to be speaking to us about making time for God in a busy life. So he'll be bringing you all the answers on on that issue. Looking forward to that. That'd be good.
I was just going to say that, you know, there's the old song about "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still."
No, very old song, yeah.
And Jesus going out very early in the morning, because I find once the day starts ticking over, unless you've settled in your mind that you're going to do that, the day sort of rushes past.
Yeah.
And I'd always wondered why people talked about walking in the garden with God first thing in the morning. And it just makes sense that they do that first.
It's great, isn't it? There are lots of people, I'm sure there are people here, who find that's a good way to be with God. I find that it is hugely distracting to go for a walk, because I will get distracted by what I can see, looking around, and quite often, there are a lot of people like this. As I begin to capture thoughts, I need to write them down to get them anchored, because I'm one of those sorts of people whose mind goes all over the place. That's where journaling comes in. I know people who actually write down their prayers, and they will start off at the top of a page. Try this sometime. "Yesterday." Okay? And will actually write what happened yesterday and where God was with them, where they missed it, where they've got things they need to ask God about. And then when you've got to the end there, "Today." And in come the questions, the things that you want to ask. So some people find that being isolated and alone, and certainly I find it great to sit still somewhere, but then there are other distractors that occur. Once we showed a film about this, about a young woman, a young mum, who knelt down to pray and she fell asleep immediately. So sleeping can be a distractor in a busy life as well. All sorts of things that can distract us. So, next slide. We're going to get a Bible reading here, and Simon, you again, could you switch the fluorescent lights off for me, please? We'll come back to that in a minute. So I want the If this doesn't work, I'll read it from the Bible.
Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again.
That's a really powerful image, isn't it? My sheep know my voice. Now, here's the thing where we want to transition in what we're thinking about to, let me get back to. Yeah. Okay. We want to talk about our connection with God, because it's all very well just wanting to get messages from God, but none of us actually, when we made a list of the times when we particularly want to hear God's voice, had got into the sort of imagery and language that Rosie was talking about this morning. She was talking about relationship. She was talking about the relationship between the bride and the bridegroom. And it's, I have to say, it's not a concept that works for me in understanding my relationship with God. I find that where it talks about God being our brother, about Jesus being our brother and the Spirit being with us, the idea of relationship is that of companionship that really works for me. And of course, that seems to me to add a whole thing. So it seems to say here that if we want to hear God's voice, if we want to hear the voice of Jesus, we need to follow him. We need to be inside the gate. And I'll come back to that in a minute. That we want to see ourselves as sheep before we get the voice. So the idea is this, that calling on God for help when we're worried, when we need a decision, or when we're confused, which all of us do, comes best in a context where we are close to Jesus. Now, the question that we've been asking about how we can hear God's voice is not a new one. Sorry, it's disconnected. Yep. This is a page from a book. It's the original copy of the first autobiography ever written in English. And do you know what it's about? It is written by a woman called Marjorie Kemp, and it is asking the question, how can I be sure I'm hearing God's voice? From the 15th century, somewhere in Norwich, she got herself into all sorts of trouble, got locked up a number of times, got threatened with martyrdom from the authorities, and all sorts of things because she really wanted to hear God's voice. Just a little comment on there. The monks at that time were really pretty keen on drawing on books. And they think that little heart written in the margin there is because there's a bit in that book where she's writing about her visions and how she experienced God. At one point she says, the presence of God was like having somebody blowing a fire bellows in my ear. Right, really strong. We talk about the breath of God, don't we? Now, her problems were great. And for somebody who was that out there and that assured, she still needed to talk to somebody else. And she went to somebody who some of you will have heard of, even if you haven't heard of Marjorie Kemp, and that was Dame Julian of Norwich. Unusual to have a man's name. That was because she was based at the Church of Julian, St. Julian's Church. No, I don't think anybody really knows what her name was. But Marjorie went to see Julian and talked to her about her problems hearing from God. And in Marjorie's book, by the way, the Dame Julian's book is the first book written in English by a woman. So once again, spiritual issues, hearing from God, have been a big agenda all the way through history. And it would be great to see that coming back on the agenda again, wouldn't it? But she actually said to her, look, it's not so much about going through the rules, it's about the relationship. Of course we test what we hear against common sense and the Bible. Paul talks to Timothy about a sound mind principle, a common sense principle. We get most of what we need to know from the Bible anyway. But these other things come out of relationship. And here we've got another exercise, and it'd be interesting if we get the same answers. Be honest. If the times when you want to feel God closer, when you're anxious, or when you've got decisions to make, or when you're confused, then put that up there as well, because that's an important thing. But we've spread out the paper a bit here, so come grab some paper and see if you can add things to I Want to Feel You Close. We can put some more light on so that people don't trip over. Thank you very much. And we will have the count on down on this time. Yeah. Okay, what have we got? There's fewer responses here, but that's okay. So, all the time, throughout the day, look at that. When I am alone, when others are okay, feeling God close, after a great time of worship, when I'm facing a situation which is impossible, when I'm feeling stressed or sad, when I'm at the end of what I feel I have to give, in times of trouble every day, anxious over decisions, when things go wrong, when things are out of control, when feeling low.
Overwhelmed.
When feeling overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed with all these responses. When weary, okay. it's quite a good way of expressing it. There's somebody, a poet, has taken a section from Bridge Over Troubled Water. When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. Makes the point, doesn't it? That song is complete rubbish, because it's only God who can be a bridge over troubled water. Yeah? When it really, really matters, it's only God who makes the point. So great one there to add in. We want to feel close to God all of the time. There was a guy called Frank Laubach who invented something called the Game of Minutes. He was somebody who was a specialist in teaching people to read in his day job. Very, very famous author, Christian Bible translator. But he invented this game and wrote some books about being close to God. And he had a way of stopping himself every quarter of an hour or half. He started with an hour. And every hour he would stop and say, am I aware of God? Now, God is with me. And gradually throughout the day, he reckoned it would become possible, if you obeyed that rule, to become more and more aware of God. When I've tried it, I've found it really helpful. But then I get distracted by setting my phone to ring in another hour to remind me. So there are ups and downs with it. And sometimes I just feel I can't stop to be aware of God, what I'm doing. But of course, I do understand that God's there all the time, whether we feel him or not. The problem is, even though God's there, so Bethia, you've been thinking about when God is with you, but you know, as a fact, he's with you all day at school. The problem is, if you don't feel he's with you, you've lost the benefit of that. And so feelings are terribly important under those circumstances. And we've done some work on this over the past few years, and I know that I've talked to Andy a lot about this and to David a lot about it. And for both of them, and when you think about it, David, Andy, myself, all very different kinds of personalities, we have found that as you discipline yourself to be aware of God, it does get better. But then if you stop disciplining yourself, I don't know whether you found this, Andy, but I've certainly found it, that if I stop exercising the disciplines that I need to, it gets worse very, very quickly. You just go on through life, and here you are desperately needing God's help, and you're not even thinking about the fact that he's with you. So, let's move on. At the end of the passage that we've been reading today, it says, this is a clip from another presentation that we made some years ago. Jesus says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know him." Now that's quite something, isn't it? Just think about that for a minute, because you may feel as though what I'm trying to do is to paint, is to put a line up there which is really high and very, very difficult to people, for people to achieve. But Jesus says, "My sheep know me just as I know the Father." We've got it, it's a long way to go. But Jesus wouldn't have said it if it wasn't possible. Earlier on in John, as we said last week, said, if you really want to know whether things are coming from God or not, you will know. So that's where we start from. How do we do that? We do it by the power of the Spirit. And in the background to all our talks over the next while is going to be the thought that God has a plan, and the plan is that we should know Jesus well enough by the power of the Spirit to be aware of him more than we are now. Okay? That's it. It comes step by step, conversation by conversation as we move along. This is Tracy Emmons' installation. Shows you what difference the lights make, doesn't it? But don't worry about putting them out now. At the back of the, under one of the stained glass windows in Liverpool Cathedral, is this neon installation where it says, "I felt you and I know you loved me." That's what she was asked to make there. Because feelings are important to us. Feelings are important to all of us. And we feel in different ways. So, we said that encounter on Wednesday is a time for you to come along and to encounter God, to be aware of God. One of the things that's often very helpful is if we begin to recognize God when we're with other people, when we begin to recognize his presence when we're with others, then it gradually becomes easier to recognize him when we're alone. And when would we want to recognize the presence of God most of all? Well, David had it, didn't he? "When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And guys, like it or not, unless Jesus comes back before that happens, we're all going to get to that point. And that seems to me to be the hugest incentive, so that every time it feels like death, if I can know the presence of God then, it's building towards the really bad days. Yeah? Now, don't want to finish on a downer, because one of the greatest things that we have got to offer people is the fact that it is possible to know God. You see, the thing in that passage was that Jesus said, I have other sheep who are hearing my voice. Okay? They're not in this fold. I must bring them as well. And do you know, I think it would help us when we're talking to people to be aware of those people that we meet who are not yet Christians, who have begun to hear God's voice speaking to them in some way. It might not be obvious. It might be that they're picking up concerns about what is important. It may be that they're saying, somehow I just know that God is real. It may be that there's somebody like Emma Douglas, who when she was 15 years old, went to a Christian Union camp from a non-church family, totally non-church family, and somewhere during that weekend, she realized that God was there. Now, I've summarized that. One of these times we're going to try and get her to tell her story, but it's just such a great story because it's just so ordinary. 15 years old, suddenly becomes aware of the fact that God is a possibility. No more church, no more Christian Union apart from one visit. And until she's 19, she's just carrying that in the background. And then she goes to university and people start talking to her. And she begins to explore it. And over 2 or 3 years, those hints and nudges, echoes and suggestions become a real awareness. Now, guys, I don't know how many of the people you meet every day are actually in that position, but I do know that on the basis of what Jesus said, some of them are going to be. Yeah? So in your class at school, in your work unit, when you go into Tesco's or Audi's or Lidl, you spend all day going around the shops now and chipping them, can't you? And people do. You can, instead of asking to be guided to the lowest priced drinkable wine, I took a bottle of £3.99 Lidl wine to the pizza evening on Friday. Not great. I had to be tested, and I didn't want to have to drink the whole bottle on my own at home. So you've got to take it somewhere. Yeah, what did you do with the rest? Yeah. Fancy pouring my wine down. Yeah, but in among those things, wouldn't it be great if we began to ask the question, God, what are you doing here that I can join in with? Who are you speaking to? Who are you giving an impression to? Who is like Emma in my class at school? Who is there who has got the impression that God is real? Because you actually wonder if it could have all happened earlier, if there'd been friends who were talking to her in that sort of way over that sort of period. So that's the upside as well, because as well as being a personal implication, there's an missional one of all this, and I hope we keep this conversation going. Next week, David is going to talk about one of the youngest kings of Israel, which is the 24th. Then we've got a Sunday where we've not got the talk scheduled. The week after that is the week we'll be clearing up from Cabaret. The week after that, Dave Day is with us, and he's going to introduce our whole series on the Holy Spirit, which is going to happen then at, so that's the 17th, 24th, or round about that time. Steve Douglas is going to speak to us, and then lo and behold, we're almost up to Holy Week and Easter. After Easter, between Easter and Pentecost, we're going to be concentrating on the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. So that's our plan for the next little while. Let's just pray and we're done. Father, you know what's been in my heart this morning, and that I've tried to cover a lot of bases. All I can say is that I hope some of them are ones you wanted to cover too, and that you will speak to people so that they pick up the things that are important for them and ignore the ones that are not. Amen. Okay, that's it, guys.